Peace, Paul McCartney, and Pope Francis, a lot more. This is Next Step, episode number 754, November 17th, 2022.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a 15th season of the Next Step podcast with Father Vazgen. With these podcasts, Father Vazgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Well, how do you do? I hope you're doing well. I hope wherever you are, it's a beautiful day. And if you even if it's not, I hope you will make it a beautiful day. I'm only saying that because I woke up to a beautiful day here in Southern California. And ice cold, but not freezing. Just ice, okay? I took my morning ride and just kind of froze up. But it's just beautiful when you watch the sun come up. And I'm listening to the weather report throughout the country here, at least. New York, you guys are having a blizzard. And one of the commentators said that the best thing to do is to just stay indoors and watch your favorite football game. I guess this was in Buffalo. So the Buffalo Bills were playing and they moved them over to Michigan to play over there. So you guys are going to be watching the game in New York, in Michigan. And anyway, there was a whole scenario of things to do during the blizzard. And I hope you will include the next step in that scenario or in that list of things that you could do during a blizzard. I mean, you're stuck, so might as well take me with you, okay? We're stuck together. A little bit of good times in the next few minutes, a little bit of insight, a little bit of humor, whatever it may be, whatever you call the next step, whatever reason you are tuned into the next step. Well, we are going to be together for the next few minutes, so I hope you make it a good one. I know I am on this end. Hey, have you been seeing what we're doing on the apostle.net site? We have daily messages. And this has been really exciting for me. It's challenging. I got to tell you, it's challenging. Sometimes it's been difficult. Every single day, we've got a brand new message coming out. And the messages are in audio form as well as in written form. And very short ones, you know, 2-3 minute long audios. You could read it in a couple minutes. And it's been challenging because it's forcing me to really take all of the messages that we've had throughout the years on our podcasts, on our educational channels, everything that we've been doing. It's been forcing me to take my writings, relook at them, reword them, put them in order, and really get a flow of inspiration. Yeah. I think that's the way to say it. It's a flow of inspiration. Like, for instance, we are gearing up to celebrate Thanksgiving here in this country. In America, we celebrate Thanksgiving on the last weekend in November. And it's an opportunity to thank God for the blessings that we have. Yeah, that's kind of unusual, isn't it? We are like a secular country, and you would think of at the height of secularism, there's America. But no, America has this feast. And I know there's people that say, well, it has nothing to do with religion. It actually has everything to do with religion, because the word itself, Thanksgiving, means you have to have somebody to thank. What are you thanking? What does Thanksgiving mean? You have to thank somebody. And so this past week on the Apostle Meditations, or the daily messages, what I'm calling right now, I'm calling it Armadoxy for today. On the Apostle Meditations, it's a series of small little meditations about Thanksgiving, the different, like why? What's the importance of doing Thanksgiving? Is it necessary? Is it necessary to be thankful? And on the bigger picture, what does it mean for us, especially when you talk about the ego, when you talk about selflessness, about sacrificing for others. These are thoughts that nobody talks about these days, but are certainly the essence of how we have survived. This morning, it was interesting, on one of the podcasts I was listening to, it's called How God Works. It's a podcast. I'll put a link on today's show notes. It's a podcast by David DeSteno. And it's kind of interesting. I got to tell you, some of them are just kind of like sleepers. But this one was interesting. It's called Religion and Robots and AI. Oh, my. Can we pray with robots? And it starts with the premise that, you know, most people have made the connection of technology and religion only in these last couple of years because of COVID, you know, and all of a sudden your pastor says, hey, we can't get together, join us on this Zoom. That's how people have made technology. Actually, technology goes back years, centuries before. And this has been something that we have plugged into. I was excited to listen to it because it reminded me that we've been so ahead of the game when we're using technology, we're using computers. But it also reminded me that this is just the latest manifestation of technology. I mean, when I was using computers back in the 80s to do our church work, to actually to celebrate the liturgy. Can you believe that? We actually did some early programming to take the sharagans, the hymns. Now, these are written in very unique notation. And what I did is I created a small little program on an Apple II computer that would play these melodies for us. It was essential for me because I was running a parish by myself. I was the parish priest, and I had these sharagans, these hymns that needed to be sang, but I don't read music. Well, I was able to put those into a small little computer that played it for me, and that way I put the music in, and then all of a sudden what we had is I had the melody line, so I could now coordinate it with the words, and we had voila! We had these voila moments. Look, we are here. We've arrived, playing these ancient hymns aided by computers to help the priest get through a very unique situation, being in a new parish, in a mission parish, where people didn't know any of this, and he needed to transmit these to the people. So we were aided by computers. And this is back in the 80s, and I always think like, wow, we were really ahead of the game back then. But it turns out that, you know, technology's been around. In fact, so much so that there were speculation back in, I forgot which philosopher it was, one of them who suggested that God gives us the technology. God gives us access to technology for us to use it. And I think it was a Russian movement, if I'm not mistaken, among the Russian Orthodox or somewhere, that the idea was that even resurrection, God has given us the technology. So the resurrection that Jesus promises is something that we can attain as people. He's given us the technology to achieve that resurrection. Just interesting thoughts, you know, throughout the centuries. But what I'm saying is that technology that we talk about, it's manifesting itself in this small little computer that we all now have in our pockets in the form of an iPhone or a smartphone. This is just the latest manifestation of what we're doing with technology. Anyway, it's a very interesting podcast. Like I said, I'll put a link on today's show notes so you could check it out. It's something that concerns me because here we are with Epostle and we're doing something that is really, really on the cutting edge. It's not just about putting out podcasts. It's not about just giving information out. It's actually apostolic evangelism. Pope Francis, just this week, talked about the need for us to evangelize. Listen to this. Among the Roman Catholic Church here in the United States of America, Pope Francis's message was that you need to evangelize the gospel. Interesting, huh? What are we saying? Epostle, what is it? Apostolic evangelization. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. I mean, basically, this is where we're at. So we're in sync. You know, this is kind of like exciting. And actually, the second portion of today's show, I'm going to share with you some things that are even more in sync. Pope Francis declared the World Day of the Poor. This was last Sunday. And I want to talk about some of the things that he mentioned, because I think they're eye-openers. And for those people who've been on the side of like, hey, Father Voskin, what are you doing? What's the big deal about what you're doing? Well, it's a very big deal, because we've been doing it now for 15 years. And it's kind of exciting to see others catching up and kind of legitimizing. Yeah, that's the word I'll use. They give legitimacy, because there's been a lot of naysayers on my side. But hey, it's okay. We're just doing it, right? Hey, you guys who are on board, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you're brand new to this, it'll all make sense soon, okay? But let me talk about today's topic, because along with this idea of what computers can do, what this gentleman, David Steno, talks about in this podcast is, can there come a day when we will pray with robots? Will people worship with gods that are in artificial intelligence? And he talks about within the Hindu religion, there's manifestations where Vishnu, the god, returns in different forms. And is it possible that he returns in the form of artificial intelligence? And it's only a matter of time that somebody's going to suggest that Jesus will return. I mean, when you talk about Jesus, and this was just a few weeks ago, the feast of the Holy Cross, and I heard one of the one of our priests talking on the internet. It really made me sad when I thought about it, because anyway, I'm not going to go into what the details of what he said, but basically the scriptural passage is that there will be the sign of heaven that will cover from one side of the heaven to the other. And immediately you think about, well, like, how can that happen? Well, heaven in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago was a matter of from one horizon to the other horizon. Don't forget that there was no concept of there being people on the other side of the earth, let alone at the bottom of the earth, at the top of the earth. This entire idea of global evangelization was far from it. They were just, you know, a group of people, and they were taking the gospel to the places that they knew about. One was going up to Rome, one was going to the east, and so on and so on. But that whole idea of, like, are you going to have this whole globalization? And so the idea that there would be a sign up in heaven was the idea that you would look up, and in the sky you would see something, a marking from one horizon to the other. Now think about it in terms of artificial intelligence. Think about what technology is giving it. Think about the idea that right now this podcast is being heard on 5 different continents. There's some of you in Australia whose time zone is not only different than ours, but you are in a different day than ours. I think you're some like 18 hours ahead of us. And so depending on when you're listening to us, you could be in a different day than where I am today. There's people on different sides of the planet speaking different languages. I just recently met... Where was it? Yeah, I just met somebody. Oh, it was a couple months ago, and she was at the diocese, and she met me, and she said, "You're Father Voskin, the one who does those videos. I love your videos. My daughter has translated all of your videos into Russian. And in the Armenian church in Russia, they are playing my videos in the Russian language." Now, wow, what's going on there? You know, well, obviously there's a need. You're filling it and you've got the material. Why not take it and exploit it? That's what evangelization is. It's take what you got and exploit it. It's exactly what Jesus did. He took these 12 guys that were kind of disorganized from all different walks of life, exploiting their potential at each level. Hey, if there's somebody who's going to be able to take a message and translate it into the Russian, why not? Why not, right? Just do it. That's another voila moment. Voila! we gotta coin that phrase, Willa. It just feels good saying it. It really does. Maybe it's the morning or anything. But that's the idea. Now, is it possible that we will be worshiping with robots? Is it possible that artificial intelligence? Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. I want you to think about it. You may think that this is really off the wall, but think about it. If you have one of those little robot vacuums, they've given it names. They've given those little robot dogs names. Look at my grandson comes over. He watches a show on TV called Lightning McQueen. It's on the Disney Channel. It's a cartoon. It's about cars. And cars are now animated and have features. Their lights are eyeballs. Their front end hood is a mouth and a nose and so on and so on. They're animated. And it makes me realize that, hey, this is nothing new. I mean, think about Walt Disney's first animation of a mouse. I mean, a mouse is a rodent. You hate it. Oh, I cringe. I don't want to see a mouse. I really don't want to see it. Yet Walt Disney was successful in giving it a personality. And in fact, not only a personality, but that mouse had a Minnie Mouse. Mickey Mouse had a Minnie Mouse that he could pal around with and call his girlfriend. And they had a dog, you know, Pluto. And these are all things that have been andromorphized. In other words, they've morphed into human features. And so it won't be long that we're going to be talking about, when you look at things like Star Wars and you've got the 3CPO and these robots that are having features, is it going to be possible that they also have a soul? You say, well, no. Well, why can't God put a soul into one of these? Now, these are really kind of different questions, and these are things that come up in this podcast. And I've been very excited to hear it this morning when I listened to this. So like I said, I will put a link on today's show notes. You could look into it, and I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to exchange some thoughts about this. But I'm going to tie it in with what we're talking about here on the next step, and that is the human need for one another. Because the bottom line for us is, why do we need the church? Why do we go through the church? This week there was a conference here in Los Angeles about the church buildings, about Artsakh, those buildings. And a friend of mine was in town. He was part of that conference and everything. And later on, we were discussing some of these ideas. And, you know, the need for church is not just those liturgies that you have. You know, I've said to you many times, just as important as the divine liturgy that takes place on Sunday mornings is also the coffee hour that takes place afterwards. And people say, oh, yeah, that's funny. That's fun. It's not meant to be funny. There's nothing funny about it. The coffee hour after a service is essential, because it's at that coffee hour where you put your guards down and you start talking with people and you find out, hey, oh, you've had a death in your family. Oh, you have somebody who's been stricken by cancer. You're having some financial issues in your family. And then you start networking and start putting yourself with them, walking in their shoes and saying, hey, can we help one another? Can we reach out to one another? And essentially, that's the purpose of church, coming together and creating this society. Last Sunday, my youngest grandson, I baptized my youngest grandson. You know how exciting that is for a priest to do that? Baptized my youngest grandson into the church. And I thought to myself, you know, that's what the church is all about. He now becomes a member of that church. I know people want to say, oh, baptism, what sin did he have? He doesn't understand. It's not about that. It's not about that. In fact, if that's what you think baptism is about, check out this video. I'll have a link on today's show notes. Check it out, okay? Before you talk to me about anything else, check out what baptism is in the Armenian Church. Watch that video. But imagine now we have the youngest member who is now part of that church community. And if he could do nothing else right now at age one, he can make people smile. People in their most difficult times can look at him and smile and feel warmth and have hope. And tell me, isn't that evangelization? Isn't that evangelization? Isn't that when we see a young child and you have that hope? Isn't that what evangelization, part of that evangelization process is? So he is now doing his bit too. Little Alec is doing his bit in the community of the church. I ran across this one little, before we go to the song of the day, I'm going to share with you this little story, because it's about the human dimension that I think we always forget. We always think about religion, faith, and we forget that it has to be about bringing people together. One of my heroes, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, certainly a big hero of mine, the night that he was shot in 1980, it was devastating for me. In fact, I think I have a podcast that I've done about that where I share some of my feelings about that when the music was taken away from us. And I just found this. Carl Perkins is an old-time musician, old-time rocker, and influenced the Beatles when they came out. And if somehow you're underneath a rock someplace and don't know who these people are, John and Paul were two members of probably, undoubtedly, one of the greatest rock and roll bands in history, the Beatles. And John Lennon was shot in 1980, a man who lived for peace, and tragically, ironically, was killed on the streets of New York by a gunman, by a lone gunman, they tell us. So I found this piece and I wanted to share with you, okay? In 1981, just after John passed, Paul and Linda, Paul's wife Linda, invited legendary rockabilly musician Carl Perkins to stay with them on the island of Montserrat, where producer George Martin had a studio. George Martin was the producer for the Beatles. Paul wanted Carl's help in recording a song called Get It for a new Tug of War album. It was literally just weeks after John's murder, and both George and Ringo came to spend time with their former bandmate. The night before Carl was scheduled to leave, a song came to him that summed up his warm feelings about the visit. The song was so clear in his mind that he didn't even write it down, which was unusual for Carl. The next morning he played the song, My Old Friend, for Paul and Linda, explaining that it was a gift for having him as a guest. Halfway through the song, when Carl sang the words, If we never meet again this side of life, in a little while, over yonder, where there's peace and quiet, my old friend, won't you think about me every now and then? Paul stood up and abruptly left the room with tears streaming down his face. Not sure what had just happened, Carl stopped playing and Linda hugged him. She thanked him for helping Paul grieve, explaining that he hadn't been able to fully break down since John passed. Paul later explained that the last words John spoke to him in the hallway of the Dakota building were, Think about me now and then, old friend. I'll put a link on the show notes to this beautiful story. I was very moved by it, and I want to share it with you, and I think it kind of like brings an end to our first portion of today's podcast. Yeah, technology can move us in many, many, many different ways, but it's still the heart. It's still the heart and the emotions that we've got to understand need to be healed. The brokenhearted, what Jesus talks about. I've come to mend the brokenhearted. And I think that there's so much brokenheartedness in this world. That manifests itself in different forms. One of which, of course, is loss from a loved one, whether it's to death or because of an end to a relationship or whatever it may be, and the need for us to really find a way to grieve and I don't want to say bring closure. That's the wrong word at this point. But really to come to terms with our realities. So with that, let's take a break right now. We play a song of the day every week. Just something to give us a little bit of time to digest what's been said. And a lot's been said. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Pope Francis and the poor. And, of course, peace.
It's a tug of war. What with one thing and another, it's a tug of war. We expected more, but with one thing and another, we were trying to outdo each other in a tug of war. In another world, in another world, we could stand on top of the mountain with our flag unfurled. In a time to come, in a time to come, we will be dancing to the beat played on a different drum. It's a tug of war. Though I know I mustn't crumble, it's a tug of war. But I can't let go. If I do, you'll take a tumble, and the whole thing is gonna crumble. It's a tug of war.
Push it, push it.
In years to come, they may discover what the air we breathe and the life we lead are all about. But it won't be soon enough, soon enough for me. No, it won't be soon enough, soon. It's a tug of war. What with one thing and another, it's a tug of war. We expected more, but with one thing and another, we were trying to outscore each other in a tug of war.
Tug of War, title track from the Paul McCartney album that we were just reading about. Shared with you a small story right after John Lennon's death. And I was going to play the other track, which was a little shorter one. It was actually a ballad written to John Lennon. It's very touching, very emotional. Pick this one out because I think it'll segue right into what we're going to be talking about next. And that is about Pope Francis and the World Day of the Poor. And it's a tug of war. It really is a tug of war when you think about not only what we're doing in this world, but how we're going about resolving issues of war. It's really a tug. It isn't it? Anyway, this is off of an album that one of the many, many Paul McCartney solo albums This one, 1981, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what was written on that. I will have a link on today's show notes so you can check out the entire album. And I think one of the most influential, one of the most brilliant and creative artists of our times, Paul McCartney. Well, we are back, and we're talking about all kinds of things, among which is our apostle ministry, what we're doing with this ministry. And as the person in charge, as the person who's setting the vision for it, it's very important for me and my staff for us to understand that we do have a purpose, that it is not just, we're just not doing a podcast for the sake of a podcast, but it's basically to continue the ministry that we were ordained to do in using the means of technology. And part of that ministry that we understand, that understanding of a ministry, what the church is all about, comes to us from different sources. Of course, from our church fathers, from Holy Scripture, and from our interpretation. Yes, that's important, that we are also living members of that body of Christ. So we are interpreting it and reacting to the set of circumstances that life is giving us today. Today is also important. It's also, today's reality is also part of this entire continuity that we call the church since the time of Christ. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I shared with you what I believe is the mission of the Christian church, because it's the mission that Jesus Christ proclaimed. It was his mission when he came. If you remember, we see this documented in the Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus is baptized. Following his baptism, he goes through a period of seclusion, and he appears in Nazareth, and the scriptures are given to him to read. And he opens up to the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." He's anointed me. This is the Christ, right? The anointing. To preach the gospel to the poor. Listen to that. The gospel. This is what I'm here about. To preach the gospel to who? To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closes the book and he turns to the people and says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Well, what does that mean? How is it fulfilled? Jesus Christ, he's standing right there. And we as the body of Christ, this is our mission. This is the mission. This is why in our Armenian church, every priest that is ordained, on the day of ordination, the scriptural passage that is read is this passage. This passage as a reminder that this is your mission. This is the mission of the church. To tend to the brokenhearted, to preach to the gospel to the poor. It's about the people who are hurting. And so as we start developing and we start building Epostle, it's very important for me that we don't lose sight of what our mission is about. Namely, that Epostle becomes the mouthpiece or becomes the voice of what we started off with, calling it In Issues. Actually, In Issues is the actual working of this mission statement. It's walking in the shoes of others, feeling their pain. Very Armenian. We call it tsavatanim. Let me feel your pain. Let me understand your pain. Let me get it. And I think that it's not just by chance that we've come up with these words in the Armenian vocabulary. It's because this is part of what Armadoxy is all about. And so it was very beautiful when all of a sudden this week I read in America magazine, this is put out by the Jesuits, one of the fine magazines that I subscribe to. And proudly I say that because I just feel like it is just so dynamic, the church, the ministry that they're doing. And it talks about Pope Francis on the World Day of the Poor. And he talked in his homily, he says, "Do not listen to prophets of doom, but instead light candles of hope." So let me read a little bit of the background. This is from an article that was written by Gerald O'Connell. Gerald O'Connell is one of two people who do podcasts called, I can't remember the name of it. It's Inside the Vatican. That's what it is. It's a podcast that you could find on your favorite podcatcher. And it says, in an challenging and inspiring homily on the 6th World Day of the Poor, Pope Francis advised Christians to not listen to the prophets of doom at a time when humanity is suffering from multiple crises, including war, climate change, the COVID pandemic, and social and economic injustice. He called on them instead to light candles of hope in the midst of darkness and to seize opportunities to bear witness to the gospel of joy and to build a more fraternal world. Wow. Now, bear with me for just a couple more. Let me read one more passage here. It says, Francis has always been concerned for the plight of the poor as a Jesuit, as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, and now as Pope. Since his election as Pope in 2013, he has sought in countless ways, both in the Vatican and internationally, to draw attention to the world's poor. As part of that effort in 2017, he declared that the Catholic Church worldwide would set aside one Sunday every year, the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, to reflect on how poverty is at the very heart of the gospel and to take steps to address poverty locally and globally. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to the entire article, and I highly advise you to read it and to see what this is all about. But let me share with you some thoughts, because as part of this developing idea of Armodoxy, that basically we're the first Christian nation, and so therefore there is something to be found within that Armenian tradition, namely Armodoxy, which is unadulterated, since it wasn't influenced by the Western Church. But at the same time, a necessary step has to take place, because over the last 200 years, the other influences, namely being the recipients of genocide, of pogroms, of massacres, we have lost that ability to believe in that light, what Pope Francis calls to, he says, in the midst of darkness, to light candles of hope. And that candle of hope, like I said, the youngest child who was baptized last Sunday, my grandson, I baptized him, and I thought to myself, here it is. What are we baptizing a one-year-old? Why? Because here is an opportunity for us to look at hope in his smile, in his demeanor, in his newness. We receive an opportunity to share in that new creation, that new beauty. And that's the hope. That's the hope, because you understand that God's not finished, that God is there, that God is in our midst. And it's up to us to capture, to understand that we also have a part to play. It's not just like God puts everything in motion and says, I'll take care of everything. No, you have to extend yourself. You have to find that God energy within you and then go out there and do what's important. To reach out to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captives, to the blind, to the oppressed. And so as I read about Pope Francis and I listened to his homily, I thought, well, isn't this what we've been talking about and what we've been challenging ourselves to do? When I say ourselves, I'm talking, yes, institutionally, I'm talking about the Armenian Church, which you can't bring about that change because it's too institutionally, it's embedded in too much of its structure. And we've seen many of the sadnesses over the last several years, especially during the years of war, that can't prevent us or hinder us from being a voice out there, even albeit in the wilderness. Yes, a voice out in the wilderness to be prophetic, to be biblical, to use that metaphor, the voice out there in the wilderness that is saying that this is what we need to do. This is where we need to get back on track. Because when you do look at the whole body of what we call the Armenian Orthodox Church, and what I dare to presume is going to be labeled as armodoxy, in other words, us reacting to it, reacting to that body of information, you understand that the church itself has always been in this position. I mean, just the fact that at every ordination, the church fathers have put this into the ritual book, that this is the mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You who are ordained now, you have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. That's number one. Preach the gospel to the poor. The poor, what does that mean? The poor who have no hope, who feel like it's all over. You know, the sadness of this is this, you know, and I think Pope Francis said this in his homily. It's an 8-page homily. I do want to read it a little bit more carefully, but he did say this, and this was fascinating. He says, the poor now are being created in Ukraine. They're bombing Ukraine. And they are bombing in these areas where right now, as we know, as we speak, right now, as you're listening to this, they're bombing in these areas of civilian populations. They're bombing their water supply, their electricity. And with the harsh winter coming up, these people are going to be basically destitute. And it hurts me as a Christian, as an Armenian priest, that our Armenian church is not talking about this. We have to be the first voice that needs to be talking about this. And you say, well, what about us? This is what's the problem. This is the problem that we've always said, what about us, instead of saying, what about the world? Why are not we citizens of the world? Last January, when the Russians first went into Ukraine and started bombing, I dared to take a small group here in Hollywood. We have a small Ukrainian church, and we went in solidarity and stood with the priest and offered a prayer. Nothing more than that, just to say we're standing in solidarity. We as Armenians know what it means to be oppressed. We know what it's like to be picked on by the big guy in town. And we're standing with you. And do you know, for the one or two people that said, thank you, Father Boskin, for doing that, do you know the number of people that criticized us? Hey, don't you know that those Ukrainians are the same people that stood with the Turks? Don't you know that those Ukrainians were the people that didn't help us? Well, how do you end that cycle? How do you end that cycle? Somebody needs to step forward and say that this is what I am ordained for. And right now, there is a group of people that is being hurt and abused. They're the brokenhearted. They're the poor. They're the captives. They're the blind. They're the oppressed. And they are the ones that we are called to tend to. This is what In Issues was all about. This is what In Issues was about from the beginning. And I've not been out of the loop for that criticism. It has cost me. It has cost me a lot. But nearly of what it's cost these people who are enduring the pain and the suffering. But yeah, it's been a lonely battle. Lonely in the sense on the church side. Never lonely with the people that we've had on board with us. And of course, with God on your side. As Martin Luther King said, if God's with you, you're no longer a minority. You are the majority, right? To paraphrase him, I don't know how he said it, but it always gives me a lot of inspiration, the words of Martin Luther King. And, you know, it also, reading this about Pope Francis, the Day of the Poor, also made me realize that we're not alone, that and we're not... We're not worthy of the criticism that people are giving, because there are some good people who are also doing it, and they're up against the criticism, so it's okay. We find company with people who are struggling and who are finding the same message of hope and the need for hope. Pope Francis says, instead of talking about the prophets of doom, let's light candles of hope. And that's been our motto from the beginning. Let's make that candle of hope something real. That candle of hope is in the smile, in the face of a newly baptized child, in the face of new creation. Nora Sterzial is the word we use in the Armenian hymn, the new creation. And that new creation isn't just about the creation that came with Christ. It's not about the new creation with God. It's the new creation right now. When you understand that you are a creation of God, that you understand that Jesus Christ is working through his church and you are a part of that church. Armadoxy is about that. It's about our reaction to all of this history that we call the Armenian Orthodox movement. Armadoxy is actually our reaction to it. The Armenian church, or any church, if it's going to be viable, if it's going to be living, it needs to react to itself. It can't just be a matter of history. Oh, this is what we have in our history. This is what we're going to be doing. This is what our failure is. You can't live history. You can preserve history. You can put it on display. You can put it, but history is there for you to react to. In that reaction, you move forward and you start creating your history. And today, at this point and this juncture in life, our history has to be created, a new creation. That new creation is one of help, one of extending ourselves, now that we have resurrected, to give hope to others. Exactly what Jesus Christ did. He was crucified, he resurrected, he came and he saw his people, and he said, don't give up hope. In fact, take this message and take it out to the entire world. And that's what Armenians need to do. This is what the Armenian message, and it hurts me when we sit there as a church and we find ourselves only in the past and not talking about today. We marvel at these structures that we've made, but not realizing that those structures had a purpose. And we never, don't talk about that. In fact, they just had a conference about these structures and everything. But who's talking about this? Purpose of that structure was to extend ourselves to the heavens, to touch the face of God, to be at one with this creation, with this universe. And here we have that opportunity through Apostle. We don't need to do it with these big buildings. We can do it because we've been given this anointing from Jesus Christ. And you're part of it. You're part of it. So thank you for being there. And sometimes I need to articulate this more often because I think it's so novel that we as people are not crucified. We are resurrected. And just as Jesus said, after his resurrection, he went and he told his disciples, he says, believe and you're going to be resurrected as well. That's what we need to tell people, that you've been there. You know, there was a video you can check out on again, you go to Apostle, you're going to find all of this stuff. There was one called Greetings of Hope. Greetings of Hope. We made this in 2011, if I'm not wrong. And it was basically to the people in refugee camps in Darfur. And it's exactly this same message. Hey, look at us. We were in refugee camps at one point too, but we have resurrected. And you will too. I'll put it on today's show notes. Thanks for reminding me. I know you didn't, but yeah, you did by me letting me talk about it. It's a good video because it's basically a takeoff exactly on what we're talking about. Okay, here's Susie to make her announcement to tell you about something else we're talking about. I'll be back in a couple moments to share with you some parting shots.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. by pressing on the donate button on our website. You can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquen.
Okay, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Thank you, all of you, for all of your love and support, for your prayers that keep this ministry going. This weekend, I'm going to be out in Rancho Mirage. If you happen to be there, I'd love to see you at the Holy Divine Liturgy. Going to be celebrating with the community out there. During the week, we have, of course, our Thanksgiving celebration. We're going to be kicking off our new toy drive for this year. We're going to be, and you can all participate because it's all virtual, okay? So our new toy drive gets kicked off this week, along with Thanksgiving, our food drives, and the whole gamut of holiday celebrations and outreach, all part of the In Issues movement, and I ask you to just connect with us. You can find us at epostle.net, inissues.org. The main mothership is now being refurbished. Hopefully, we'll have an opening very soon of that. What we're basically doing is we're moving over the content over to ePostle, the content that is electronic, and then In Issues can then go ahead and serve its purpose of reaching out to the poor and the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed, as we've been talking about. So that's what's going out on the internet, and I know people are a little bit confused. It's good that you go through some confusion for a few months, because in the long run, this is all going to be working out. It's also Black Friday this week coming up, and that means, you know what, I get to spend some of the money that you've been sending our way for this ministry in renewing our equipment and upgrading some of our equipment, more than renewing. It's just getting some of the latest things. And I've got my eye on a very special camera. And if all goes well, you'll be seeing some new videos coming out as well. Okay, that does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed. I enjoyed talking about it, and we enjoyed producing it. Hey, listen. Check out the show notes today. There'll be a lot of other stuff that you could follow up on. And also, don't forget to check out epostle.net daily. You get daily stuff. You can't go wrong. On behalf of my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Vazquen. Looking forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.